We give you thanks, O God, for the opportunity to share in the ministry of Jesus Christ in this place and in our lives and around the world. We thank you for these gifts, but also ask that your Spirit will continue to guide us as we share the love of Christ each and every day. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So as I said, today's message is going to be just a little different and a little, I hope, fun and meaningful for Thanksgiving. And my scripture verse is taken from the book of Psalms. And I know Tom has told me not to preach from the Psalms while he's teaching Sunday school, but I had to use one. This is a great psalm of praising God. Listen now to God's word. It is good to sing praise to our God. It is pleasant and right to praise him. The Lord is restoring Jerusalem. He is bringing back the exiles. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He has decided the number of stars and calls each one by name. Great and mighty is our Lord. His wisdom cannot be measured. He raises the humble but crushes the wicked to the ground. Sing hymns of praise to the Lord. Play music on the harp to our God. He spreads clouds over the sky. He provides rain for the earth and makes grass grow on the hills. He gives animals their food and feeds the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in strong horses, nor his delight in brave soldiers, but he takes pleasures in those who honor him, in those who trust in his constant love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He keeps your gates strong. He blesses your people. He keeps your borders safe and satisfies you with the finest wheat. He gives a command to the earth, and what he says is quickly done. He spreads snow like a blanket and scatters frost like dust. He sends hail like gravel, but no one can endure the cold he sends. Then he gives a command, and the ice melts. And he sends the wind, and the water flows. He gives his message to his people, his instructions and laws to Israel. He has not done this for other nations. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. So many of you are going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner or go someplace and have and share that time together. And I found some interesting little statistics about Thanksgiving that I want to start us off today. Basically, looking at foodnetwork.com, they say it basically takes almost 3 days to prepare for a Thanksgiving meal if you're going to do it yourself by getting things organized. Actually, they have a calendar that you start a month ahead of time. I don't know how many of you have done that, but basically it's 3 days of baking and preparing and shopping and of course all day long on Thanksgiving Day. So it, again, 3 days of preparation for this wonderful meal with the family gathering together. Another interesting statistic. On Thanksgiving Day, the NFL has a special halftime presentation, and they make it a certain time. It's 15 minutes long for halftime during the Thanksgiving NFL game because that's how long an average Thanksgiving dinner lasts. 15 minutes. I challenge you, time it when you're at your time. Time it when, you know, somebody's finally finished the pie and, oh, might be around 15 minutes. I know that was in our household. Now, sadly, Thanksgiving lasts way too short. And I'm not just talking about the food that we eat and how we eat it, but also it's too short in our perspective. When we think of Thanksgiving time and when we talk about it, naturally we think of all the things that we like, the things that we got that we appreciate, whether it's good health or family or a beautiful day, you know, you name it. We focus on that good stuff, and that's good. We should do that. We should thank God for the blessings received, but I want us to expand our Thanksgiving a little bit more. Not just on the tough and hard things, but things that maybe we often don't think of that are really blessings in our lives. And I guess the first thing that I want us to think about is the rewards that we have in life, to give thanks to God for those rewards. You probably have heard this before, but here's a list of thankfulness. I am thankful for the mess to clean up after a party because it means I have been surrounded by friends. I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I am employed. I am thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. I am thankful that my shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. I am thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing, because it means that I have a home. I am thankful for the spot that I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I'm capable of walking. I am thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. I am thankful for my huge heating bill, because it means I am warm. I am thankful for the lady behind me in church, or the man behind you in church, who sings off key, because it means I can hear. I am thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing, because it means my loved ones are nearby. I am thankful that the alarm goes off early in the morning hours, because it means I'm alive. And I am thankful for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I have been productive. And I think sometimes when we complain and grumble about our lives and the frustrations that we might find, that behind each one of those grumblings is a blessing, is a reward of our lives. And I want to challenge you this Thanksgiving, this week, just even to begin to think, when you find yourself complaining about the rain, complaining about the snow, complaining about, you know, another person's coming to Thanksgiving, kind of stop, not negate it, not to say it's not important, but stop and say, okay, what's behind that? What's the blessing behind paying my taxes? What's the blessing about being exhausted at the end of the day? What's the blessing about the alarm going off in the morning? What's the blessing in those little annoying things that we have in our lives each day? And realize that those, in a way, are the rewards for a life full, a life that has been blessed by our God. And that means every one of us can stop and count our blessings. Go ahead.
On TV this morning, there was an article about cooking a turkey, and it took a little over an hour.
So check for Marvin. That's a quick way to get that one done. There you go. Let's sing Count Our Blessings.
Thank you.
So we have the rewards of our lives, but also we need to be thankful for the burdens in our lives. And that's something that quickly we kind of want to dismiss, because often we don't sit around the table, you know, in our Thanksgiving prayer saying, give thanks in all circumstances. That's from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, or from Ephesians 5:20, always give thanks. Now remember, the Apostle Paul is the one that said these things, always give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. Paul suffered some many different problems. He had this thorn in the flesh. He was beaten, thrown out of town, had to be whisked out of town in a basket. He was betrayed by friends, naked, cold, shipwrecked, stoned almost to death because of his faith. And yet, the Apostle Paul was able to say, give thanks in all things. He also said this, and one of my favorite things, I consider our present sufferings not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. So all the things that we go through, all the struggles that we go through, certainly are difficult, and we still can give thanks in them. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times we hear that we are to give thanks for them. Well, none of us really want to give thanks for diseases and thanks for illnesses or thanks for problems in our lives, but we can still give thanks in them. While we're in the midst of them, giving thanks for what God is going to do through us and in us, but also the power and the strength and the presence that He has for us while we are going through those times. Brendan Manning, who is an author of Ragamuffin Gospel, really interesting guy, has this interesting prayer that I couldn't find off the top, but I kind of remember it. I've used it for a benediction. I've used it at graduation benedictions, because it is a time when all the students are, you know, thinking of the great expectations they have in life. And Brendan Manning's prayer basically goes like this: may you experience failure. May you experience disappointment. May you know what it is to suffer, because then you can dance in the beauty and the grace that comes from God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes it is only when we find ourselves in difficult situations that we truly can comprehend how powerful, how blessed we really are in God, and that we can give thanks in those times, not for those times, but even in those times, as the Apostle Paul did. So, like the great hymn, no matter what we may go through, it is well with my soul.
Thank you.
So not only do we have to be thankful in our burdens and in the rewards of our lives, but there are reference points in our lives that we can give thanks for. And I mean those big moments in our lives that we may have looked at and not sure that it was really a good thing. A friend of mine is often saying that what you focus on grows. And the Israelites had that problem, I think. They focused on the wrong things, and it grew. While they were traveling through the wilderness, looking for this promised land, following Moses, they just got frustrated because they weren't getting anywhere. They didn't have the right foods. And when you read about that story, they begin to complain. Oh, to be back in Egypt where they were slaves. And what I think is one of the funniest things or ideas in Scripture, they complain, oh, to be back and to eat cucumbers. I have never been in a difficult situation and thought that eating cucumbers would be a relief. But they did. That's how messed up they were, if you will. How they were focusing on the way things used to be and forgetting what God was doing now in their lives. Or how they would look at this time. Because now Israel, they don't talk about being in Egypt. They talk about that wilderness experience. And they talk about how God provided for them throughout that time. That, for them, was a reference point that they continue to look back, even today, as they celebrate Passover and their holidays. And you and I, as we travel through our lives, I kind of like to think that there's these cairns that are set up along our lives that when we turn around and look back, we say, oh, yeah, remember how miserable we were there? We wanted cucumbers back then. But really, we look back and say, remember how God got us through that time? Remember how hard it was? Remember when we didn't know that we would have enough money to pay the bills? Or whether or not a loved one would make it through a difficult time. And we did make it through by God's grace. And a lot of times what it was is in the way that we looked at it, the way that we perceived what was going on. There's so many ways that we can kind of direct the way that we think. There was an ad agency that was experimenting with this one time in New York City in Central Park. They got a guy, put him in a spot, put sunglasses, put a sign around his neck saying, I'm poor, and he was begging. He had a cup out there, or saying, I'm blind, and had a cup out there. First day he did that just that way, he got $4. So the ad agency the next day put a new sign on him, same guy, same place, same cup. The sign said, it's spring, I'm blind. He got $40 that day. Because people, when they saw that sign, they realized, look how blessed I am. I can see the flowers. I can see the green coming about. And this poor guy isn't. And so their compassion turned. The way you and I see a situation in our lives has more to do with it than the actual situation. I really like there's one poster I saw or one sign somebody painted I saw on the internet that I thought was a good perspective for us. It said, stop watching the news, love your neighbor. Wouldn't it change things a lot more if we spent the time loving our neighbor than watching the news? It's all about, in many ways in our lives, the perspective. Our thankfulness, our gratitude is about the perspective. Maybe the turkey isn't as big as it used to be. Maybe the table isn't as full as it used to be. But still, the way that we approach it, the way that we come before it, we will know that God is with us. God is taking care of us. Just like this old hymn, his eye is on the sparrow, tells us.
Thank you.
Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you that your blessing upon us is constant. Whether we feel it, whether we know it, whether we see it, you are constantly there for us and with us. We pray that our thanksgiving will expand beyond just the good and the fun stuff that we have experienced, but that we continue to give you thanks for the challenges, even the suffering that we may go through, and the willingness for us to sacrifice ourselves for others so that, again, your presence and love will be felt in a unique and powerful way. Expand our thinking, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.